The first scripture reading is found in the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God.' You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, and we read verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. Indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing. Since the day you heard it, and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 25. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "Man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." To these 3, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based in part on your gospel lesson for this morning, where a man wanted to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And he answered his own questions based on what Scripture says. But having done that, he realized that's a lot. Then we read this interesting phrase. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" To justify oneself. Could be stated another way, to make oneself right. And that word right, of late in our culture, it's a pretty popular word. We talk about rights very often. And though some may think that rights and, if you will, right are not necessarily the same thing, they are more closely related than what you think. We may talk in our society about certain inalienable rights. If you've heard that phrase, raise your hand. Yeah, okay, so you all know what I'm talking about. Inalienable. Well, that means that can't be taken away from you. We'd probably put at the top of that list something like free speech. You can say whatever you want. Well, maybe not. You may think you have certain rights, but the world is always telling you what those rights are and how far they go. Take free speech, for an instance. Yeah, our Constitution enshrines the notion of free speech. But for instance, that's never meant that if you're in a theater watching a movie, you can stand up in the middle of the movie and say, "There's a fire!" You can't do that. You never have been able to do that. We may have free speech, but the government has always said, "Yeah, free speech to a point." You can tell lies sometimes. You know, if you lie to your mom and dad, your sister, your brother, well, the government is not going to come in and throw you in jail. However, I would advise you, if the FBI is ever intervening or interviewing you, don't tell the FBI a lie. A lot of politicians have ended up in jail because of that simple fact. Rights always come with, if you will, caveats. Because the government really can't enforce everything that is supposed to be right. It would end up having to throw all of us in jail every single day. multiple times, in fact, during a day, if it tried to establish rights, everything that's right. And yet rights have something to do with the whole notion of what is right. Now, another thing to understand about rights, and this kind of goes back to the whole concept that we think certain rights are inalienable, that they're ours. And people run around saying, "This is my right," as if they themselves determine what their rights are. And that's not the case. Ignoring God and his statutes for a moment, even in terms of worldly rights, we don't determine what they are. Unless, of course, you're almighty. For instance, you know, over here in the United States, to a limited extent, we have the right of free speech. We can criticize our governments. We think that's a God-given right. But, you know, if you were living in Saddam Hussein's Iraq a few years back and you wanted to criticize your government, do you think that was a right? Or in Hitler's Germany? Rights aren't something we claim for ourselves. They're given to us by others. And from a worldly point of view, if you're weaker than what others are, you have no choice about what your rights are. That has led to an old saying about rights. You've probably heard this. Might makes right. And throughout all of history, the world has shown that to be true, and you can even look at our world today, look at the differences between a communist country and a democratic society, or a Muslim country, country with a dominant Christian culture. We don't determine what our rights are. Somebody else is always determining what our rights are and defining what our rights are. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, or restated, he, desiring to make himself right, which was the major flaw in his thinking. We don't determine what right is, and we can't make ourselves right or claim right for ourselves. It's always dictated by others. God himself claims to dictate what is right. And we had a wonderful example of that in our Old Testament reading for today. As the Israelites are going to the land of Canaan, and having just left Egypt, what's right? What are our rights? Well, Egypt had certain ways of doing things. They had certain statutes. God said, so if you think that's what's right, no. Do not walk in the ways and the statutes of the Egyptians. And by the way, when you end up in Canaan, they got their own statutes and their own rules. You don't walk in them either. I am the Lord God. Do you want to know what's right? I tell you that. And what God tells us in his word never changes. What was right 2,000 years ago is still what's right today. And my friends, that's a wonderful thing. Though our world seems to despise it. The world is always changing right. You know, 50 years ago, if you were a teacher in a classroom and you had some boy in your classroom that maybe you didn't like him, maybe he was just a weakling, and you, instead of calling him a boy, called him a girl and did that all the time, what would have happened to you 50 years ago? You'd be fired. Now today, in some circumstances, if you have a boy in your classroom and you don't call him a girl, you can be fired. The world is always changing the definition of right. And if you're going to try to be right and pleasing to the world, it's a moving target you can never hit. Just when you think this is the way things are, the world changes them. Cultures change them. Nations change them. Religions are constantly changing them from what God Himself has established in His Word. If you want to be just, if you want to be right, you'll never accomplish that trying to please the world, because its definitions are always changing. But there's also another huge difference to being right in the world's eyes and right in God's eyes. I go back to that phrase I quoted a little bit ago. It is might that makes right. The world enforces its rules upon us with threats, with violence, with murder, imprisonment. Not go along with some woke culture and whatever job you have, you could lose it. Not follow some new regulation that has come down from the government that violates your conscience. You could go to jail. Live in some countries around the world and just privately practice your own religion. Get caught. You can die. Might makes right. That's how the world sees it. Always has, and always will. God is not the world. He made it. But He makes right differently. But He, desiring to justify Himself, sought to change the rules. Who is my neighbor? You know, if I can get that defined just right, maybe I can look okay. God doesn't change the rules in order to make us look right in His eyes. But when He saw that we could never become right in His own eyes, He did something the world would never do. He looked to His Son. You must become man, because man needs to be punished. You must become man, because man needs to suffer. You must become man, so you can be tortured and killed. Because that is what man deserves. You will also rise from the dead. So that the life man has forfeited by his sin, I can give back to man. Not because they've earned it. Not because they've justified themselves before me. But because I am the one who makes right. And in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God offers to the entire world the gift to be right. And all who will receive that gift, when they stand before the throne of God, will not experience judgment, but adoringly be welcomed into God's heavenly kingdom. Having all the rights and privileges of being a child of God, not by might, not by power, not by theft, not by earning, but through the grace of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Rights. The world endlessly pursues rights. But if you really want to know what your rights are, how to secure them not just for now but forever, you can only look to one place. That is the rights, the righteousness God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.